Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, in the Kingdom of Gold, you're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com. Journey, as Jeannie Marie here says in the chat room, and it's a nice night. Monday night, was going to do my show last night, and unfortunately, we had some amazingly powerful thunderstorms. I actually caught some of this on video on my, I was out metal detecting, and I was out in a field about 2 miles from my home at a particular park I like to hunt, and I really thought that things were going to go a little bit better than they did. I had about 30 minutes out there, and I saw these clouds off to the west, and I was just amazed how fast they came down upon me. It was like watching something out of a movie. I got some good signals, and I was digging away, and the next thing I know, I look up, and it's on me, and I was suddenly hit by this amazingly cold rain, and by the time I got 500 feet to a shelter, it was pellet-sized hail, and I mean, these are like the size of marbles, actually. They were hitting me, and I have it on video, and then the thunder was just right over the top of me, so I tempted fate, and yeah, it was something. If you want to check out my video, go out to youtube.com/MerkGhostWriter, M-E-R-C, Ghostwriter, all one word, and you'll get to see that video. It's pretty good. I was just astounded by that kind of weather happening, and we literally had, when I got out of the building that I took shelter in, there were 2 inches of hail on the ground. So that's how powerful this was. So anyway, what's the link for the video? Let me put that up here, guys. www.youtube.com/MerkGhostWriter. And if you just look for that, I think that'll get you to it. Sometimes they have like a user equals, I think, maybe. I'm not sure though. But just look for Merk Ghostwriter. If you just do a search on that, you'll find my videos. So I was going to do the show, and I got home, and the weather reports were looking pretty dim. And I was hearing the thunder, even though it cleared up a bit here last night, I was hearing thunder over in the Sierras just up the way. It's not that far, to get up in the hills and hit 3,000, 4,000 feet elevation right off the bat. So, and the lightning can travel 50 miles, and it's damaged my stuff before. So I just said, I ain't doing a show in this. So I hung it up that last night and decided to preserve my electronics. I prefer my studios to stay intact. So we did that and had a nice night. I just worked on things. I actually finished off a thing called a Temtec Model 1054 shortwave receiver. And I actually built this and I tested it out and I've got it here in my hand. And it's a wonderful little, I like building little electronic kits. It's really a neat thing to do. And this cost me about $40 and it arrived in an envelope. Flat as a pancake, actually not as a pancake, but pretty flat envelope. It was one of those packing envelopes, and it had all the components, all in nicely packed, and you just dump everything out, and you've got a shortwave radio. And it took me about 2.5 hours to build it, and I was listening to the voice of Russia, to Chinese broadcasts. I can't understand a word of Mandarin. And I was getting WWB and WWVH, Fort Collins, Colorado. It's the U.S. NIST time standard for the United States. So I was able to pick up all these wonderful stations. And I'm going to put this down in my other shack where I have all my radio gear. But I built this right here just for fun here inside my little studio. So that was fun. But we're going to do some mediumship tonight. The number is 646-478-0377 for those who want to dial in. And yeah, Teresa, I thought it was cool too. It was something else. I've never seen or heard lightning like that all around you. It was dangerous. I mean, I was out there with a metal detector, literally made of metal, and waving around a lightning rod. I went and stood in the men's room bathroom doorway, looking out and shooting pictures of this. And my car was 300 feet away, and I had to wait for it to calm down a bit to get to my car. And by the time I got there, oh my God, and I've got there's one image of me or one clip of me grabbing some of the snow, the ice, and I just scooped up a whole panful that easy, and it was just, a couple inches deep. So neat stuff. But I have to say, when I was doing the audio and video work up in my video editor, which I'm using Sony Vega Studio now, which I really, really like that editor. I caught what I believe to be EVPs. So I haven't had a chance, but I'm going to go back and see if I have an EVP from that particular area. I was not doing anything paranormal. I had my mind on metal detection, and I decided to kind of just take note of that. So I'm going to analyze that later in the week and see what we got. So on my next show on Thursday, I'll try to mention this. One other thing that did happen is, did you pan it out and check for celestial gold, John? I don't think so. Celestial gold, I like that. That would be good. No, I'm stuck in the third dimension. I'm an intermediary for the other side, but I don't get the often get the opportunity to pan for celestial gold. I like that. But I did have an event happen, which some of you on Facebook saw my post. There was an unusual event here in my home. Saturday, I spent pretty much the whole day Saturday working on a whole bunch of things around the property. And, we're putting in new sinks and new infrastructure everywhere. And it's just been a ton of work, getting the place back in shape. So I went out and spent a couple $100 at Home Depot, got home, and I did some repair work here in my place. And I was sitting down for a minute, checking more stuff on the hardware stores online. And, all of a sudden I heard a noise. I look up, just across the room, and a candle votive that I have on one of my, shelves. It's kind of the way this is arranged is I have a lower shelf that this other bookshelf arrangement sits on top of. So if you can imagine in your mind that this votive, it's kind of a metal votive holder, and it's the top of it, you put a little bit of water in there, and then you have the tea light, tea light candles, I guess you call them. You put those little things in and you light it, and then it heats up the water. So it may not be the right term, votive, but I'm just, I'm in the ballpark. So anyway, this thing is sitting there, and it was on, and I had it set up on a little ceramic dish that was keeping it, off the wood so it wouldn't heat or burn the wood. And it was not lit. So it's just sitting there. And I look up in time to see the votive lift off, actually in a kind of a an unusual trajectory, and it picked up and actually threw itself a good 5 feet, and there was no outside force that I could see that could have caused that. It rolled to a stop near the TV set, which was across the room, and I got up and I thought, what in the hell did this? And I felt a cold spot and it dissipated. And I'm going, okay, I said, who are you? What are you doing here? And I'm kind of feeling foolish. And I'm thinking, okay, did I miss seeing some other cause for this to happen? And I go in and look, and sure enough, up to the left, there's a magazine laying on the floor that I think fell earlier. So I looked at it and I thought, okay, I'm going to be reasonable. and try to make some kind of an experiment out of this. Since I'm a paranormal investigator, I've got to be, here I am investigating in my own home, off the cuff. And I go ahead and tried to debunk it, and I did roughly 50 times. I tried to drop this magazine so it would hit the side of the votive and knock it that way, and then in such a way that I wouldn't see that magazine fall, because I wasn't looking directly at it. I mean, I'll be honest in that. I looked when I heard the noise. I looked over and watched it, moving over. And I did not see any magazine falling at the time. So I tried it 50 times, and I could not replicate that. So the cause remains unknown. I do feel that it was paranormal. That's just my instinct, and because I felt something not right there. And we've been having some unusual events, as you've known, if you've paid attention to our show over the years. We've had a lot of things happening. I'm on a haunted ranch here. And for the last 2 weeks, I've been hearing a man's voice when I walk outside. The new wrinkle is I'm hearing this guy talking, and I go walking by, and sure enough, you'll hear this this male speaking off to the right, and then and he sounds a little angry, and then all of a sudden he's gone. And so I kind of halfway expected the last couple of days that I would be hearing, him talking, and I haven't heard a single thing, and tonight I walked back after checking on the folks, and there was nothing going on. So I'm kind of wondering what the heck to think about it, but I'm about 80% that it was a paranormal cause, 20% okay, maybe I missed it. Maybe the magazine, one of those 1 in a million hits, kicked it that far. But after 50 tries, and I literally did 50 tries or better, where I tried every possible combination of that magazine falling down and knocking that thing over, the best I could do was get it to kick out about a foot. And it went way farther than that. It landed 5 feet out and then rolled to a stop another 2 feet out by the TV. So, you're talking 7 feet. And that's a significant amount of energy to do that. That's a mechanical force. So the physics of it, tell you a lot. So anyway, I'm seeing a lot of good friends pop in. We got Alan of GHI. Well, hi, Alan. Good to see you. Curious listener, 1414. We have Eileen S. We have a guest, 31150. You are from France. Let's see. Jeannie Marie is here. She's one of the dedicated. And Scott Wise, GHI. Hi, Scott. Good to chat the other day with you. And let's see. We got Teresa Sixbury. And let's see. We have Tim Zuhl. And he does all sorts of interesting paranormal videos. We're going to have him on. I will get in touch with you, Tim. Been a little busy around here on the run, Drills. Let's see. Scott Wise, you are not Alan Ghost Radio anymore. Alan of GHI. Let's see what's going on here. What up, Scott? So anyway, I am not sure what that's all going there. Haunted, well, it's a gold spot more than likely of haunted or guarded. Actually, I am on top of a gold an old gold mining area, and we have found gold around the area, and we have an actual Chinese-made rock wall about 400 feet to my right is the Chinese rock wall. And it that was constructed in roughly, I think, about 1850 to 1850, when the things really got out of hand all through this area. This was the center of the gold rush, right where I'm sitting right now. 9 miles off to my immediate north is where Sutter found gold, and John Sutter was a hell of a force here. Or actually, Marshall, James Marshall, and then Sutter got involved. And Marshall did all this, Marshall felt bad, actually felt bad for what he had done to California discovering gold. But his body sits over that area of Coloma. And we've gotten some interesting EVPs in that area. And we've also had a lot of spirit rescues up there. I had a friend of mine who since has moved to Ohio. Her and I went up there, and Christine is her name. And she and I got some amazing K2 activity up there. And when we did some EVPs, we had spirits asking us to cross them over. And it was actually the most disturbing thing I've ever heard. as far as paranormal evidence, because what, you know, when you hear something, and I'll try to do the voice here, it was cross us over, you know, that kind of thing. It was just really disturbing, you know, and I went and Christine, and we tried to go find some good ways to deal with this, and we finally came up with the option, which was in a good book we both read, was to show them how to cross themselves over and get the word out. And they seemed pretty appreciative of it. We did get some affirmative EVPs, and since then, it's been pretty quiet over there. I haven't been back there in a while to see if we've got remaining, but hopefully we helped a few of them over. You know, but I have not been as active as I'd like to be with all of this stuff, getting back into hunting real trapped souls out there. You know, I mean, there's plenty of them to go around, and we sure want to help them over to the other side. So that is something my friend Spencer and I have been missing each other. He's got stuff going on in his life. I've had my own challenges going on. And we've kind of come to the agreement we're going to do a big case soon. And I'm going to be basically pushing for June to get at least one case in the can and get GRI back on its feet again and get this damn ship moving. And we're going to go for one case a month. So, you know, he's got like a whole cavalcade of cases he's developed. And I got a couple ideas of my own, one of which is Virginia City. So we're going to check into doing a Virginia City hunt this summer. And I'll put pretty, you know, and it, basically we're going to rent the miner's cabin at the oldest hotel in the West, which is in Virginia City. And it's called the Gold Hill Hotel, and it is extremely haunted. And a lot of people have had negative experiences there. And I went in 2009 with the team, and we took whiskey to the entrance of the mine and gave it to the miners and had a little ceremony for them and all toasted them. And because the Yellow Jacket Mine, where this building is right next to it, which was the old miner shack where they changed clothes before they went into the mine, this was the place that 34 men died in a massive fire. And so these miners are, a bunch of them are trapped. And I actually saw one, a ghost run out of the mine. And, just 10 minutes later, two of my investigators saw a blue light going the same exact trajectory that I had pointed out. And so it was quite an experience. But the nice thing is, if you take gifts to spirits, they tend to be nicer. They're kind of like people, regular people that way. They are people without a body. So we took them the whiskey, and they did like that. I got a kick out of that. They were very respectful. They didn't do anything to terrorize us, except I did get I think a playful experience when I went to open the door to the back of the gold miner, the miner's shack. There's a screen door on the back of this thing. And this is something I hope that if anybody else, anyone listening to this show ever does, open that back door. And what happened was, the door started pulling back and there's nobody on the other side of it. And the door's pulling back and I'm pulling it. And I'm like in this tug of war with the door. And I'm going, finally, I go, okay, I got it. You're on the other side. You got me. And it like, let's get it go. And I'm going, and I'm laughing, going, you're funny, man. And everybody, and what's funny is, you know, I had other people, investigators, they go, who are you talking to? And I said, you know, you can't believe just what just happened to me. And it was funny. I mean, we had a great time. But a couple of people I've had on the show before, oh, geez, what is their names? They're two famous investigators from Reno, and Mark and Betty Constantino. They turned me on to this place, and I've had them on the show one time. And they actually had some pretty terrifying things happen in there where the beds were shaking and things were being done, and it was just, noises, horrible noises were being made, and growling. And it was I think it was just trying to scare the hell out of them. And I guess from what Debbie, if I remember right, what she told me is she did a pretty good job. So, you know, I half the time I think that the other side just razzles us because they can. Especially some of the entities that are, not so spiritually inclined. They're just, they still got their human egos and they're just like hanging out here. So anyway, let's see. Let's look at what we got here. Still no regular caller calling in for a reading. Oh, I see Gina has graced us with her presence. Gina is here. And believe me, I have found the song, Gina. I'm thinking that Thursday I will have the song ready for you. We're going to play Gina's song and have that during the show. We'll have a special moment to tip our hat to Gina. And she's probably sitting there. I can see her face blushing right now. Anyway, so we're going to be treating her well. But if you want a reading tonight, the number is 646-478-0377. 90-minute show tonight. Not going to do 2 hours because I've got to get up in the morning and go to work. I got to go to work, man. I got to earn a living. And the other thing is, small announcement. I've been kind of getting led to this more and more. Is I will be doing readings for people privately. It's not all going to be always on air. So I'm kind of working on how I'm going to do that. I'm talking to people who do mediumship, for a living. And it's not that I'm going to make it my day job, but I like the idea of just developing this further and going kind of the next level and seeing where it goes and develop it further. So one of the things I'm getting very serious about, which I've talked about before, is the meditation work. I do meditation before every show now. Absolutely must do it. It's one of those things. It's extremely important to do that, to develop your abilities. You're literally going between the worlds when you do this kind of thing. And it causes all sorts of interesting things to happen in your life. Gina was funny. I was talking to her just the other day, and she was mentioning about the ringing in her ear. And I have had a ringing in my right ear since 2003, which at first it was freaky. I thought it was something terrible happening to my health and I was losing my hearing. And I went to a ear, nose, throat guy, and he turned out to be a joke. Treated me like hell, told me he couldn't do a thing for me, and sends me to an allergist. And after no reaction from the allergist, nothing that the allergist person did would fix this, I finally resigned myself to the fact I had tinnitus, which I thought I had. And anyway, it's in this one ear all the time, and it modulates. It seems to be, when I'm around paranormal activity, it seems to really get warbly. I don't know how else to put that. I've kind of noticed a correlation. So I don't know what to make of it. I'm still learning all these things, so I'm sure my guides will reveal more about this. But Gina was the first one to kind of get my attention with that. All these years, I've had this going on 7 years, and you mentioned that you've got the same thing, and I'm going, what the heck? Anyway, I see we've got, who we got now? We've got Annie Omaha is here. And let's see, who else? Eileen S. is here. Good to see you. All right, what have we got? Teresa says, oh, well, did you help them? I see. You're asking me about the spirits that we moved on, Teresa. I do. Yes, we did. We did our best to help them. And what we did was we found a technique, which I'll share here. I brought it up before, but it's always good to bring this up again for folks that haven't heard about it, is that when you pass on, there's the mind, body, and spirit are the three main components of what makes you who you are. But that's just as a biological form, but when you die, when you pass over, your biological form, of course, ceases to be. And the electrical components, the electrical field that makes up your spirit, which is the life force that surrounds your body and this provides the template by which your body grows, major hint here. I've been studying some of this for a while. I'm starting to get a kind of a slight inkling how this works. But this template, that surrounds the body leaves, and goes on. And it sometimes gets stuck between worlds. And the problem is that the mind, which has the logic and all these other things and is more geared to living in our third dimension, is kind of lost in the translation. And you're going on pure spirit, pure emotion, pure just the it's this passion, I guess, would be maybe that's as close to the right words as I could get, but it's what really truly makes up your spirit. And so true spirit. And what ends up happening is some of these people, for whatever reason, they do not move on. They get stuck either out of choice or because of circumstance, and they don't know to go to the light. And what has been found has been that, so the movies tend to portray this rather well. The movie Ghost did this rather well. And it ends up that they get about 10 days where they can go to the light. After that, it kind of closes off. But there's no reason that if someone new has passed on, that another spirit in the vicinity can't see that light and go in with the other person who just passed. So that's kind of what we kind of drew their attention to. We're saying, by the way, did you know you could do that? And they're all like, huh? You know, and they truly are surprised. It's like, what? You know, it's like a V8 moment. You know, huh? Why didn't I think of that? So you basically just tell them to go hang out at a funeral home or where's people are, you know, at a hospital where people are passing into the light, and they get a chance to go. You know, I mean, it's kind of a nice thing. You just say, what you do is the person just asks, hey, can I hitch a ride on your light? Sure, okay, come on. All right, we'll walk through together. It's kind of an interesting thought, and you could hear these, you know, on the EVPs. It was like I had some interesting responses, which I thought was what it sounded like was, you know, again, the V8 moment. It was just these emotional responses like, oh my God, you know, I've been here 100 years and this is how you do it. So, you know, I guess time is different on their side, but for, you know, imagine being dead all that time and you're watching all this stuff go on, and then you finally realize that, you know, some joker like me comes along and tells you, well, why don't you try this? You know, I just get a kick out of that. Oh, we got a hand up. Whoops, now the hand's off. My God, I was going to hit that call and it disappeared. So, caller, if you want to call back in, I saw you out there and then you just went away. So, all right. Number 646-478-0377. And I'm just going to keep on right on talking until somebody calls. So, by the way, second to the last space shuttle launched. And as you know, I'm in propulsion. I work in the business. And I'm going to retire out here in about 6 years or so and just go off and do metal detecting and mediumship. Probably mediumship, and then metal detecting in that order. Who knows? Maybe I'll spirit work while I'm metal detecting and get rich. I don't know. But anyway, oh, I see 360 is back. If the hand goes up, I'll answer the call. But the Endeavor has launched, and my company's engines, the OMS engines, Orbital Maneuvering System engines, are what power that shuttle to orbit and also helps it deorbit. And the OMS engines are, excuse me, extremely old design, never have failed. I'm very proud of that. Our company has designed some great stuff, so those OMS engines are just something else. I did get ticked off in the movie Armageddon, where they took my company's engines and they had this Russian beating the holy crap out of the OMS engines and yelling about cheap Japanese parts and blah, blah, blah. And if you've ever seen a rocket engine up close, it ain't that sophisticated. Yeah, there's a lot to it, but let me tell you what. It's a lot of plumbing and some high energy, you know, materials are pushed through, and there's really beefy engineering that goes in, you know, to keep the whole thing hold together and make it stay together. It's a controlled explosion. You know, that's all an engine is. So I got that. I was a little ticked off at Armageddon. I loved the movie, but when I saw that Russian guy beating the crap out of our engines, I was a little ticked off, you know? But anyway, the shuttle program, I mean, after this, it's one more flight, and officially on the books. There may be one more after that. I am hoping that if the weather is bad at Kennedy, and I hear that they are going to land over at Edwards, which is about a 4.5-hour trip south of me here, I'm going to make sure that I jump in the car and just head down and see one land. I spent my whole life around the shuttle program, and I definitely want to see one come down, you know, and actually land. So I will be using some vacation time if this does happen, and I may do a show from the road. Who knows? So we'll do that. Anyway, I've got a caller. I see you out there, 646. I see you, and I'm going to take care of some business here, though. I'm just going to watch these guests. I see guests come in, and I know I get a little worried about that sometimes, so I'm just going to be careful and make sure that we don't end up with too many more in. So I know how that works. But anyway, if they're good, I'll be good. Okay. All right, 646, you're on the air. What's your name, and where are you from?
Hi, my name is Dawn, and I'm calling from New York City.
Oh, hi, Don. New York City, great place. I've been there once.
Yes, and I didn't know if you were doing readings tonight. I just called in. Will you be doing readings tonight?
I can do a reading. I've been known to do one or two of those.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Okay, well, I'm going through, like, a lot of family, like, a lot of dysfunctionalism is, like, happening around me. I just got off the phone with my brother, my younger brother, my mother, and they're going through some type of altercation where it's now involving the police. And then recently I got into, my fiance did something to me. I'm not going to say it on air, but he did something really bad to me, and so I had to call off the wedding. And I just feel like there's some, like, what else can happen? And I just want to know, I guess mainly I just want to know, like, as far as my fiance, like, if I take him back, will my life be like hell? Like, I don't know. I'm so confused. Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
This is, you know, I'll tell you something. You sound young. You sound like you're in your 20s.
Yes.
You know, are you early 20s?
Yes, I am.
Okay, hon. You know, life experience, you know, mediumship aside, the life has a way of happening to people in such a way that there's troubles come in threes and fours, and you just wonder what the hell you did wrong to get all of that.
Right.
And it is extremely vexing when these things happen. I used to get all just blown away when stuff like this would happen. Now I just take it in stride. We all go through this. This is not, you are not alone in this at all. And it's not a higher spiritual meaning in this either. That's the sense I get of it, just, you know, in a little mediumship here going on now. There's no higher spiritual lesson here other than to test you to see, okay, do you have what it takes to make this all work? You know, and what I would say is remain calm, because the center of the storm is often is the safest place to be. Well, and it sounds to me like you're at the center of all this. You know, would I be correct?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am.
So are you? How are you reacting to it? Because my sense of it, you've been just standing there going, "What the? You know what?"
Yes, I'm just. I'm standing here. I'm thinking about everyone and how they feel. I'm not thinking about my, like, even what my fiance did to me. I mean, it's horrible. If you knew, well, you probably already know, but it's horrible. And my family, like, I'm just in the middle. I'm just like, what the hell is going on? And I'm just trying to, like, okay, fiance, I know you did this to me, but okay, you'll get better. And my mom and my brother, I'm like, okay, you know, everything's going to work out. But I'm not thinking about myself. And I just feel like, what the F? What more can happen? Like, what else can happen?
Yeah, don't invite anymore. You've already got a plate full. sometimes you, and this is, and I'll, it's funny. I just had my cousin, I was talking to you pre-show. I've been helping him through some stuff because he's a gifted medium. And, you know, it goes through my whole family. Trust me, I ain't the only one. We're not unique in the family. You know, when we talk about this stuff, it's like, you know, I'm just another Joe doing this. But my cousin, you know, I was telling him about real similar things because he was bringing up the same kind of thing, and I was saying, look, it's the subconscious. You know, when you speak to the subconscious and when you say stuff like, "What more can happen?" Trust me, the subconscious is going to go out of its way to see that that happens, and so you're kind of throwing a little bait to that. And I, what I was telling him was to master his subconscious, to be more aware that the subconscious is a tool to be used by the forward brain that we have, our intellect. But if you don't exercise control over it, or you start throwing things at it like that question you did, you're kind of inviting more of the same. So, first step is just take a deep breath, calm, step back from it and say, this is done, what will be, but no more of this. And you can just go off and say that to yourself, have a quiet moment, just say, I'm done with this. This is the end of what's going to go wrong here. The other thing is that sticks out in my mind is, you're talking about what this, fiance of yours has done. I'll tell you, the thing I did get here is future, big time.
Sure. Yes.
And what I with him is, this is a harbinger of things to come.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
It's a harbinger of things to come. And what I mean by that is that if he'll do that to you before you're married, it stands to reason. I would be seriously looking at, if you do decide to go forward, there would be counseling, and some professional help there, because that's just not normal.
That's what I was saying. Like he's agreed to go to counseling, but I'm a counselor myself, so I don't know if when I come home from work, I want to deal with that. Like, I just want to deal with, like, almost normal people. Like, so.
Oh, so you're a counselor, too. Then you know the drill. I mean, you know the statistics and all the things that go into when these sorts of events are happening. You see it in your own, cases that you're working on.
Right. And it's going to happen again. Like, I feel like if I was my client, I would say, run. This is going to happen again. Even if he gets help, it's still going to be there. So,
there you go. Yeah. Physician, heal thyself.
Right.
Yeah, it's one of these cases where what I suspect is that there's been a lot more that's happened that you don't know about. But if you dig a little deeper, that's just my instincts here. And what I would say is just be careful. Take it slow. You use your professional judgment, your forebrain, to look at the whole situation. Look at your subconscious. Step aside and have yourself, assess yourself. And then, here's the toughest part of all is find one of your own friends who's a good counselor and kind of bounce it off them. You're coming to a medium who does this stuff too. And I'm kind of playing amateur counselor, but I'm not degreed in that area. I'm a scientist.
Right.
I got into this. It's a long story, but but what I do get out of it is that, from the other side is, this is testing you to see if you're ready for the eventual real relationship.
This is my field. Like, what he did is my field. Like, the act that he did is what I'm working in. And
I don't sense that this is the guy, but I do feel that you're being prepped for later down the road when the right person comes along.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is you're being tested in the crucible, and these things happen to people. I have been through things you would not believe. Three heart attacks. I've had shingles in the eyes. I've been blinded.
Wow.
I've been in several car accidents, broken all my fingers on the left hand, busted my arm, been in a motorcycle accident. Watched my dad die in the car and then be brought back with us going 100 miles an hour. Yeah, I've done a bunch of this stuff, and I'm still here. I've been through this, and I'm not, and I'm just throwing it, and believe me, what I've been through is a walk in the park compared to a lot of people I know. But what I'm bringing up to you is, when you talk to people and you hear the events of their lives, this is the crucible. And you are just getting a taste, you, my dear, of what really happens out there. And you strike me as tough. I think that you're going to get through this just fine.
Yeah, I'm tough. I'm strong. But okay, so if I don't, okay, because I don't. Just to be honest, even if you get the help, I can't. Like I just, it's not gonna. In my head, in my logical mind, it's not gonna work. Even though I love him, in my emotional mind, but it's not gonna work. So if, okay, when I do decide to end this slowly, but end it. Is there hope? Is there hope for me in my love life? Will I get married or something? Like, is it
sweetheart,
hope?
Let me tell you what. There is always hope, and I, you know, no matter who walks in the door here, I'll say that. I've heard some really tragic cases. Yours is, you know, yes, it's rough, but. You've got a great future ahead of you. I already could feel that. And you've got a great personality. You're a beautiful young lady. You're going to do just fine. Don't worry about that because the rest of your life is ahead of you. You've got, you know, I'm 51, and my love life hasn't been the greatest either. But let me tell you what, I still hold hope out. And I've been through some stuff. There's stuff I've never told anybody on air. Has happened to me, but I'll just say this. I'm entertaining the possibility of a partner down the road, a nice lady in my life, and I will keep that door open. But I went through some things that were really traumatic, and you, when those things happen to you, you take time to evaluate that and learn the lessons you're supposed to, and then you move on. And that's a natural human reaction to these things, and you're going to go through that. I mean, so take your time. And just don't be in a rush. Just let things happen naturally, and you'll suddenly wake up and suddenly look up, and there'll be a guy that's staring at you, and you stare at him and go, "Hello." And the next thing you know, you're standing in an aisle with flowers and a ring. And so I get with you. If I had to put a time on it, I would say you would be 2 years from now that very day could be happening, and you'll meet someone within the year. So I would think, get this business settled up, take a break from it all, sort out your feelings, and then just ease in, And here's a really tough one for you, Major Simon. Mm-hmm. Go have fun. You're supposed to. I do that. I go have fun. And I still do it, look at the old guy. We're at the metal detector. Oh, yeah. Oh, I still have fun. And you're supposed to, too.
Okay. So,
yeah, you go have fun. Get this all this business put aside and watch the rest of the crazies going around and having fun, yelling and screaming at each other. And just sit there and go, I'm done. You go have your fun. Enjoy yourselves killing each other. I'm going to go off and do this. And they'll all stand there with their mouths open going, what the hell? What's gotten into her? And then truly you will be the only sane one in the bunch. And so, lead them by example. That's what I do.
Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate this. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to walk away eventually. Well, not eventually, but take some time out for myself and then throw my thoughts out. Then tell him it's officially over because it is right now, but tell him it's officially over. And then just have fun in the meantime. And, okay,
that's
I can do this.
And one more little thing from the other side. I will say this. I have been shown a book with open pages,
mm-hmm.
and the sense I get of it is that you may be entertaining the idea of a book, and I don't know if it's fiction or not, but I'm going to lean to fiction, but I'm getting the feeling that down the road you will write a book. So I don't know what it will be about, but they're talking about you writing. So I don't know how you are with writing.
No, I was about to say the curse word, but I am the man. I've been thinking about this for a long time. It's just, especially with all this crap going on, I'm like, I need to write a book. I've been saying this. Okay. This is so good.
Well,
okay.
I think your guides are kind of letting you know that's a good idea. But I would sense it would be like a fiction writing, and you could use this as a creative springboard to go from. So, that's just the final parting shot there. I mean, I think you've got some creative energies there that could well take you into some interesting directions. So just throw that in the back of your mind, and keep in touch. Let us know what happens in the future here.
Okay. Thank you so much. You really helped me. Thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome, sweetheart. God love you. You're just a lovely lady. A big hug to you, and thanks for being on.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye now. Isn't she sweet? She's got like a heart of gold. let's see. What we got? We got a couple more people out there. Hey, and by the way, I extended the show, guys. Do you want to see Kathy? Kathy's here. Oh my God, Kathy! Big hug to you. I can't type right now. I'm sitting here just, didn't everybody like her? I mean, Don, New York City, New York City, New York City. Let me see. I'm going to answer the next line. Let's see. We got 402 and then 239. I am going to read off all the folks here. Alan of GHI. Alan is an elder in the paranormal community. He's been around doing this before anybody knew what the paranormal was. So he is here. We have Amethyst 72. Hello, my dear. And that's a nice icon you got there. Annie Omaha. We got Coffee's Just an Echo. She's the leader of she's the empress of a large broadcasting empire on Blog Talk Radio and runs a cavalcade of hosts out there. Let's see. Eileen S. We have guest 31526. Okay, I'll let you stay, but there was such a bunch of them coming in. I had a feeling I knew who that might be, so I hate to do that, but I kind of keep a control on my chat room now, watching what's going on. I'm going to keep that eye out there. Gina. I see you out there. Jeannie Marie, the beautiful siren from Georgia. Oh, yes, I know about you. Mountain Diva is here. Ooh, Mountain Diva. I've never seen one of those. Quinny's here. Quinny Poo, how are you? I love you. All right. Scott Wise, GHI. He's an intrepid investigator, good friend. He's been on with Alan many times on the show. And we're going to be talking with him more about things, especially making beer. If anybody wants to know how to make beer, go see Scott. Scott's into this. He knows these things. Beer is a spiritual substance to him, and occasionally a few ghosts come out of his stuff. So it's a wicked ale. Let's see. Teresa Sixbury is here. Hello, my dear. I love that name. You got to wonder where somebody would come up with the name Sixbury. Is there a fiveberry, a fourberry, a twoberry? Jim Zuhl is here, a paranormal filmmaker and intrepid investigator. Builds devices. Amazing man. And if you want stuff built, this is the guy. He does stuff like me. I mean, I'm sure Tim was taking note of my building my shortwave receiver the other night here, during the lightning storm. So anyway, I'm through with introductions. We're going to go ahead and bring up 402. 402, when you come on, just say your name and where you're from, and then we'll launch right into it. So here you are, 402. You are on the air.
Hello?
And hello, we got you.
Hi, my name is Annie, and I'm from Omaha.
Hi, Ann from Omaha.
Yeah, I had a question. I was wondering if anyone out there had experiences like this. I had told my mom about some memories that I had of looking. I remember very distinctly of looking into a mirror, seeing a cut in my leg, seeing the bone, basically. And I just kept telling her about all these memories I was having, and she kind of was kind of pale. She goes, "How do you remember that? That was, it sounds like I had seen my father's face in the mirror when I was recalling these memories to her." She goes, "How can you remember this?" She goes, "You weren't even born yet." And there's certain things that I just like automatically know. I don't know how to explain it. It seems like it's a past memory or some sort of past knowledge that is presented to me when I'm in a new situation. I was just wondering if anyone else has this type of experiences.
That is actually, there is a lot of literature about that. And I know people who have had that. I myself have had a similar memory, although it wasn't so much before I was born. But as I have an actual memory of a particular incident, basically I was only a few days old. And I have a memory of this room that I was in, and it was like my mother was absolutely shocked when I told her this a few years back. I said, I remember I was in this orangey colored room, and you were, you know, and I said, you were there and you were smiling at me, and you were really, and you were holding me. And I said, here's the things that happened. And I told her all this stuff that happened while I was in the room with her. And it was absolutely accurate information. And she said, how could you possibly remember that? And I go, I don't know. But, you know, obviously the human brain is capable of some amazing things. That said, your memory prior to being born is explained by, you know, a few things I have read about and heard about other people talking about this. Is the fact that when you are about to incarnate and you are about to move into your body, you know, in development in the womb, and you pick your parents, you are aware of everything going on with what's happening in that particular family, and you are able to review everything that they're going to go through. You take your mission that you're going to come here and learn these lessons. And for from that time forward, when you're born, up till about 7 or 8 years old, you retain the ability to see spirits. You retain the ability to do all sorts of interesting things.
Yeah, so, when I was younger, I recalled seeing spirits and I had dreams. And I kind of, when I started hitting around 12, 13 years old, I kind of blocked it because it was getting too scary. So, I mean. I remember doing that when I was a little kid, and I blocked it on purpose because I didn't want anything to do with it.
It's absolutely normal. You're following a pretty normal trajectory for, you know, people that do this. Although I would tend to think that you still retain some ability. Most people have a few facilities that still operate past that, even though we block it. It seems
I used it very well in my past career. I used to use it in my public relations career when I had one before I was married, and I used to use that intuition that I had from that. But I blocked out the rest of the things that I didn't want anything to do with it because it was starting to get too scary.
Yeah, it's very disturbing when some of this stuff happens. I'm clairaudient, for example, and I occasionally hear spirits, and it's the most. It's the scariest damn thing in the world when you have an invisible person talking in your ear. Now, here I am, you know, I mean, I do technical work. I do these things. And then you go around saying, yeah, but I have invisible people talking to me. Yeah, I sound like I've got my screws loose. But the reality is that the universe is a very strange place. And there are things out there that we do not understand yet. And human beings, if we can't see it, if we can't control it, it can be very a fear-raising thing. And I still have difficulty. I've had some really interesting experiences where these things have happened to me, and I've had to really work at it to retain the ability to continue on doing what I do because it's intimidating. You have to take a step back and say, okay, what, you know, why am I reacting that way? I know what they're capable of, but it's the invasion of privacy, you know, in my mind that I don't like. I don't like them getting into my boundaries. And when they do that, I'll say, hey, why don't you back off a little bit, and then we can talk, you know, and then things can go a little better. But for a child, oh, my God, you know, a child who's trying to come to terms with this, first they're innocent beings, and then, you know, once they start getting reason and judgment and more adult faculties developed, they're having to try to come to terms with this, and it's a natural reaction. And bottom line is we're designed to forget this. The reason we're here is for learning our lessons. But there are those of us, for whatever reason, who remember or just don't quite turn off all the circuits, and we keep operating this way. And some are incredibly gifted. Others have to work at it. That's me. I'm still working my butt off on this, and the meditation is the answer. Because you can, it's not a one-time event. You know, you can shut down and you can also reawaken those circuits. By the way, major revelation.
Yeah,
so
I was planning on doing the meditation. But one thing I was doing some research and answer this if you can. Is it true that when you meditate that sometimes you can be attacked spiritually? Is this possible?
Psychic attack and attack from the other side can take place. Those are lower astral forms. They're not nice. They're usually people who have not crossed, or sometimes they're inhuman. There are things that have never, intelligent entities that have never been human, never will be human, which can come into your life and wreak havoc. And yes, you know, that's kind of the risk of it would be like people go out surfing, you know, mm-hmm. and let's say you go surfing out at the ocean, you spend a day on the beach, and maybe you swim a little further out into the ocean, and you have a run-in with a great white. But does everybody have that happen? No. It's a very rare event. I have had a run-in with something that I felt was inhuman. It scared the crap out of me. I mean, I got to admit, I mean, it was like, holy, what is this? And it also followed all of my team members home after an investigation, and we had quite a time. But when you're doing meditation, that's such a low risk activity, especially when you're working with your guides and you're mm-hmm. doing all the, you know, the right things. That's kind of being, that's a whole different realm than walking into kind of the cases we do as a team, and you're facing down some really pissed off entities, you know, people who've died horribly or had accidents, and you're trying to help them, and you're trying to come into that situation and you know, take chicken, you know what, and turn it into chicken salad. It's a whole different, you know, ball game. What you're talking about with meditation, very, very rare, unless you're in a haunted home where you've got something going on, and then you open your mind up. That's a potential. But, you know, you've already told me you've developed your intuition, and you've got, I sense it's a little more than that. You know, you've got your definite gifts that can be developed and brought back online. But the meditation and mm-hmm. Just constantly working it will reawaken those faculties, and in a good way. And if you develop your relationship with your guides, you're going to be great. You're going to have a great time with it, and they'll take good care of you. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I appreciate you answering my questions, and I really do.
Okay, well, good luck to you. I really get the feeling you should just keep going the direction you're going. You've got pretty much all the answers. You're well on your way.
Okay, I'll be listening to your show. Thanks a lot.
Okay, all right. Thanks
all
a
right.
lot.
Bye bye.
Okay, bye. All right, let's see. We got another caller out there, and then I see a 716 that's out there also that's not got a hand up, but the 239. I'm just going to check how things are going in the chat. And, I see Alan took off. Okay. But I am going to just kind of move a few things around here. There we go. Just kind of keeping things on this up and up here. Let's see. We are, I'm looking at what's going on. Knock on wood. Yeah, Scott's saying, I haven't had anything follow me home, knock on wood. Yeah, I'll tell you, the place we went is we went to Preston Castle, and this was back in October. And I have never been in such a place like that. I took 10 steps in there and went, oh, my God, it's a mistake to even be in this place. And it was absolutely a horrific investigation. I never felt so uncomfortable at a place in my life. And the amount of sheer agony and death that surrounded that building, I could barely get through the night. It was really tough. I've never had to reach down and just hold it together and get through that. And there was another medium in there ahead of me, and this guy, he walked in ahead of me, and I walked through the halls and had somebody with me, and I blurred out this guy's name. I think it started with W, Willard or something like that. And I said this name, and I said, I'm getting this name, Willard. And everybody turned white as a sheet that was with me, these guides, these docents. And I said, why, what's going on? And they go, that's the name of the medium that just went in ahead of you about 10 minutes ago. And I'm going, oh, okay. And I said, I didn't know any of that. And they're going, yeah, we know, because, you know, we saw you pull up and you couldn't have known about him. And then we get in there and find out that there's, you know, this guy, I walk up to the room where he's at, and he turns around and tells me all these spirits hate me. And I look at him and think, who the hell dug you up, you know, because it was really not the right thing to say. Very, very unprofessional. You don't do that to somebody in a very uncomfortable place like that. And Preston, I mean, it's I would probably go back now that I'm more prepared for it, now that I know what I'm dealing with. But what was interesting was our team got followed home, you know, all except for Spencer. Spencer did not have any issues at all. But the rest of them and all the docents who were with me were all followed home. And there was a black entity that was making its presence known in all the homes, including my own here. And it actually messed with a family member here. So we took actions to take care of that. And I was getting all the calls. Everybody heard, you know, what I had been doing and came to me and said, what do we do? And I said, well, here's, you know, black tourmaline, salt, sage, and then do prayers and keep, fast plenty and lots of it and keep it up. And, you know, lo and behold, it started, you know, these people started being able to get rid of this thing. But it was appearing in broad daylight in their homes. It didn't even care. It was just like appearing in front of people's faces. It tried to get into my house, and I could sense it outside, but it couldn't get through. And so it went after one of my family members. And then I got a rather strong chewing out about that. Basically, what did you bring home? So, yeah, these things happen. It's ugly out there. You can run into sharks. Yeah, I ran into a big one. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and bring 239 on. 239, just when I bring you on, say your name and where you're from, and then we'll get into what you've got going on. So you are on the air, 239. Welcome aboard.
Hello. It's Diana from Indiana.
You're from Indiana. What's your
name? Diana.
Oh, you're Diana, not Indiana. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, Diana.
Yeah, thanks.
Where are you from?
Indiana.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Is my cell phone skipping out or what?
It's skipping a little, and so I was like going, what? Okay. That's kind of neat. Diana from Indiana. I like that.
Yeah, I think I did that.
Well, what can we do for you, my dear?
Oh, I was wondering if you could see any spirits around me and who they might be and if they had anything to tell me. Can you do that?
Yeah, I'm...
You can? Oh, good.
I'm getting an older woman. I got an older woman... I don't think this is a family member. I'm just getting an older woman. Why would she be there? And it was a male, and I'm still not sure on the age on him, but dark hair, stash, and what am I getting with him? And a suit. This guy was like a businessman? Or I'm just getting kind of a formality about him. I'm almost getting policeman, but I don't know.
You mean on the other side?
Pardon me?
Passed over? Somebody passed over? I'm talking about spirits, people on the other side.
Yeah, I'm talking about spirits on the other side.
And you're seeing a policeman?
Where?
There's no policeman.
Yeah, I'm seeing
in my family.
Pardon me?
Yes. There's no policeman that were in my family.
There's no policeman in the family?
That have died?
Well,
Well,
what I'm getting is this: these are people that have passed over. Is this home older by any chance?
Well, there are two other people here. Are there people in the house that are just trying to come through that are not related to me? Because there's
I'm not picking up family members. I'm picking up that what I got right off the bat was these are not family members at all that are there.
Okay.
And I'm not even getting it. Pardon me?
Of the person that owns the house. Yeah, there probably is family members. Because he does have pictures of parents on the wall and stuff that are over there.
Oh, so you're in someone else's home.
Yeah, I have my own room upstairs, but there is a man here who's he's going through a lot of troubles. But his parents have passed, and he has pictures of them. And I'll have to ask him.
Okay.
Well, he does wear a suit. His father wears a suit.
Yeah, well, I'm getting this this whole, yeah, and it very formal, very, the sense I get of it, and see, this is the trouble with this kind of thing, is that, you know, here you are, you're in that place, and when you say around you, that's what I'm going to tune into, the environment, and I'm picking up the ghosts that live there,
you're
and
like,
not just the
yeah.
ones that you're wanting to come through. It's like, it's more like poor John Everett. I mean, you know, people come, you know, people go in and go, I want to hear from my grandmother, and Uncle Fred comes through. You know, and they're like all disappointed, but Uncle Fred has this like really big message for him, you know. So that, but what I'm getting with this older woman thing, you know, I don't think that either of these two are related to you. The thing I'll try to tune into you.
Well, that's okay. They might want. He's having problems, you know. He may even have to go to jail because he beat up his wife, and maybe his parents are just concerned about him.
Does he have a mustache? Is he got a mustache? This guy that
it's
you're
the
living, you know, that you're in his house?
No.
Okay. Well, I would look on the wall and see if these two people are represented. Now, what I will say about the woman, a little more. She's severe looking, and I'm going to just go with a brunette, severe looking kind of look, stern, but. Really, the way she really was, even though the pictures look stern, was she was really pretty, a really pretty lady with a very nice heart and very giving. And I do
she
get that this,
three people
that
died
she
recently.
Is,
oh, yeah.
Pardon me?
He had two cousins and an aunt die recently. He's had a really hard time. So it must be the family that of his. That you're picking
yeah,
up.
Well, then I'm going to stick with this because, and the thing I get with her is that she's kind of a matriarchal figure, very powerful in the family. So I would be asking about that with and see if any of that makes any sense. With you.
Hmm. Well, can they tell you something before you leave that family? Is he really going to have to go to jail or will he get off?
That's going to be up to the courts. That's honestly
what I
do feel with the word mistake, big mistake, shouldn't have
oh,
made
yeah.
a mistake.
Yeah,
he the word blockhead.
He reacted on, you know, somebody
do
did
it
something
my
wrong.
Own way. I think that he's not a professional criminal. He's
an
idiot.
Yeah.
And what I think is that as a first grade idiot, all idiots get a chance to redeem themselves. I do think that there will be some community type service type stuff. I would be surprised if they do that. But what I really sense is he's going to have to pay back the community, and they're going to make him do something towards that end. Let's just say that. But I don't sense
probably,
a soul that
yeah.
malicious. I just sense sheer stupidity with a capital S.
Oh, really stupid. But somebody hurt him, you know. The woman hurt him, and he reacted badly. So
yeah,
you know.
Then it's likely if it's a first offense that more than likely he'll, if he does a little jail time, it probably wouldn't hurt him, you know, to have a week or two in, but that's about it. But I honestly think it'll be more community type service stuff and then management of, you know, whatever his poor judgment was with training and classes.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the pretty much the norm. With regard to you.
Okay, back to me. Is anybody here for me?
Do you have a brother? Or did you have a brother that passed or do you have a brother alive?
I have two brothers alive. I had a sister that passed.
All right.
Uncle.
Well, I was going to ask about the sister next because I was going. So now I can't. Yeah, one of the things you can't do is because when I ask for brother, then just stop there. Because
okay.
I was going to go to sister right after that. Now I can't.
Oh, okay. I believe you.
Okay, but what I'll do, I'll go
I
with the sister. Because
I believe she's here.
Sister, pardon me?
I believe she's here. So I believe you.
Yeah. I get the sense that she's been gone quite a while.
Yes,
I mean,
died before I was born.
Yeah.
I've mostly known her just as my playmate.
I wasn't able to get a number. I'll say again.
I mean, she died before I was born. I was born after a year after she died, almost. But I've known her just donor, you know. I played with her as a child, so I just knew her.
Was this passing like a disease thing? Was it, you know, she was like, she had like a disease that took her, and it was like kind of a quick thing, or, I mean,
she was 3 months old, and they blamed it on salmonella poisoning, but she also, like, her intestines ruptured. We really don't know if mom, I mean, she cried for like 24 hours, and mom might have aggravated her problem.
Oh, boy.
It may not have been that she had to pass. She might have been kind of mishandled.
Well, I'm getting is it was what I got with disease, something that, and I got quick passing, so that fits right in. Are you going through, you know, the fact that you're in this home, in this new place that you're in, have you been through some interesting times lately? I'll just say it that way. Have you been through quite a change in life?
Well, I think I'm getting ready to get some of my psychic abilities back. I was very suppressed by an abusive mother, who's still abusive, by the way. She's actually stolen some of my crystals and things lately that she knew were very special to me. And I think that's probably why my sisters come in. They're trying to get her to do the right thing. But, yeah, I've had some interesting times.
Okay, well, what I'd say is, you mean you said it yourself, you know. I mean, I don't need to, you know, bring it, forward anymore. She is around you. That's absolutely true. The concern for the brothers is there. And that's why I brought up the brothers first, is because the brothers also seem to be kind of a force in this whole thing. And did she also appear to them?
No. My brothers are having a really hard time. Mom is making them think that I'm just truly crazy and should be committed because, you know, I see spirits and I've talked to the other side. And that could be her concern is that the brothers are not really for me.
Okay, well then, all right. Yeah, because I was really geared towards sibling stuff going on here. And sometimes I'll admit, I flat get it wrong. I'll see the symbol and I'll interpret it the wrong way. So I have to just say what I see. So, but this brothers thing is a big deal then. This is going on where this whole toxic thing is going on, this big cloud, and this has been going on for some time, obviously.
Mom wants them to have me committed. She doesn't want to let them know that she's been stealing things from me and doing things to aggravate me, and you know, she knows that I can talk to people on the other side. My grandmother could, too. But she really likes to turn people against me and then talk to me in a, oh, come on over, honey, so I'll take her out and give her money. You know, it's like, yeah, it's real toxic.
You know, I'll tell you something. I've learned over the years, I have a few family members who are a little less than on my good list who make no bones about causing trouble. And I found that I have the choice in life to choose the people I want to be in my life and the ones I don't want to be in my life. I do not pick up the phone. I don't answer their calls. And basically, I checked them from my life. And had it turned out to be a parent, I could have done that. I have got a relationship with a family member right now who I happen to really consider whether or not I want to continue. And it's one of those things. It's a judgment call. It's you have the right to have peace of mind. You absolutely have the right to have peace of mind. And this is one of the most difficult spiritual lessons there is, I think, is to deal with family members who are abusive, who are whose mission in life, who they took on this role when they before they came onto Earth, is they took on this villainistic role to teach you a lesson. And It's how you react to that.
That I don't need family, that I have to ignore family and that kind of stuff, you know, because I wanted to have my ability and to have family love, too.
You're going off. Hear me out. Is what I'm saying.
Okay, I'll hear you out.
There's family who are you know, if your mother got into trouble and there was no one else, sure, you know, you go out there and you take care of it, right? I mean, you know, if she's in the hospital and, you know, things are going wrong and, you know, you'll be there. But does it mean you have to sit there and be, you know, a doorstop? You know, no, it doesn't mean that. When you're around family members who constantly, time and time and time again, do the same dumb thing to you and you keep falling for it the same dumb way over and over again, and then you finally wake up one day and you go, this ain't changing, and I am changing, and I'm going to change this. And we did this to several family members who just continually were twirling our clocks and causing all kinds of problems in our household until we all agreed we were done. And they would come to the door and we'd turn them away. We'd say, no, we don't want you in our lives. Disappear. And they occasionally call, and we will talk to them on the phone and trade family news. That's it. That's the rules. And they constantly keep wanting to come back into our lives. And we say, no, you know, we're done with that. And it's a very hard thing to do. The question, you know, the sense I get for you is you've still got some lessons to learn on that. But it's at one point in your life, because you said you are psychic and you're gifted, and I really believe that. If you want to develop those faculties further, you need peace of mind. You know, and peace of mind is everything in this business. And if you aren't having peace of mind, you're not gonna progress. You know, you've got to have that moment.
That's what she's here for, is to try to keep me from progressing. But I didn't know that my brothers were that big of a concern until you said that. So what, are they planning to really have me committed, like Mom screams out often?
To have you committed, it would take a psychological evaluation of you. And from everything that you've told me so far, shows, you know, if I was somebody in the professional sense from a psychological viewpoint, and I'm not, but I'm a reasonable person. I'm a scientist. You know, I go out every day and do technical work, and I'm having an intellectual conversation with you, and you've struck me as an intelligent woman, and that you have your oars all in the water, and you seem to be able to carry on a regular conversation, and you're not walking around with delusions. I don't think that you're delusional, are you?
No, but that's what they'll play, because they don't especially my younger brothers.
Yeah, but they don't have that power unless you give that to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the lesson here, is they don't have the power unless you give them permission to have that power. And then they can get into your life and edge in and cause all sorts of things to go on.
Right.
And this is where we were having that problem with people in the family who would do these things and terrible things. And we kept allowing in because we go, oh, no, that last time they did that, okay, that's the last time. They wouldn't do that again. And then, again, you wake up in the morning with a shiv in your back. And you finally just... Yeah, it's not good. So, you know, you just decide, you know, one day, okay, I'm done with this. And the rest of the family, we all came to that decision together. And we have had a very peaceful life ever since, and it's a very wonderful life. And we have our challenges here, and no doubt. But what we do have is peace of mind. And it's not to be underestimated what it can do for you. So, I really am strongly emphasizing that to you, is look at what they're doing to you, and look at what you... Even though you may intellectually think not that this is not happening, but take a look inside your heart of hearts and say, am I letting them get into my world, and am I allowing them and giving them permission to do these things? And at some fundamental level, that is happening in some way. When you open the door to these folks, they're going to come in and teach that lesson, because that's what their mission was. And when you finally shut the door on that, the lesson's over. You learned it. So, you know.
But then I don't have a family, right? I mean, it's like I'm the kind of person who can have my gift or my family. I can't have both. There are a lot of people who can have both.
Guess what? I'm you know, when my father is due to pass sometime this year, that's going to happen. And I've already got a firm idea kind of that is going to happen soon. I mean, but my mother will eventually pass. I have a few cousins and things, you know, around, but they're all scattered all over the country, and I will be alone. And that is, you know, I'm looking at it from a viewpoint of, okay, what do you call family? You know, and I've had to look and reach out to the world, created this show, done all these things. I have people I absolutely love to death out there in the audience. I'm looking at a bunch of them right now in the chat room. And these are people I care about. You know, they're actually in my heart. And that's family. That's what family means. You know, there's a blood family, and then there are people you love. And that's what matters. That's what makes you know, you get up every morning and go, yeah, it's worthwhile. So, you know, think about that, because you've got people. I already know you've got people there that you really care about out there. You know, and all of us do. And they, you know, the family stuff, it's just, it's, yeah, you get born into this soul group that you came in with, but sometimes the ones you come in with are idiots.
Yeah.
So you're putting up, I mean, and you're doing a really good job of this, I gotta admit, but you're putting up the blocks and saying, yeah, this or this, but you can have both. You know, you can have both. Yeah, you know, it's just put some limits on the family, allowing them in there to mess with your head, and then focus on that gift you've got, because you've got a powerful gift. You do have the gift. Seeing spirits and working with spirits is one of the most honorable things there is, okay? I mean, not many people have the, pardon my language, not many people have the balls to get out there and face this down and do this stuff. You've got that, okay? And you got it in spades, and you know you do. So, you know, it's a little bit intimidating. Say again?
I've got to find some support system.
You can make that
I mean, the same things happen with friends. I mean, I'm at the point in my life where everybody thinks I'm crazy. You know, my family thinks I'm condemned to hell. If I produce a miracle, my aunts and uncles will condemn me to hell because they'll call me a witch.
Are you like in the Bible Belt? You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's Indiana Bible Belt.
My family's not super
religious. Change locations. Yeah, you know what?
Want to change locations.
Place. What's that?
Yeah, I have ran away from here often. I just got thrown back here in January without knowing I was coming back. It's almost like it's some kind of a lesson for me to keep getting thrown back next to my mother, who fools me every time.
You know, I'll tell you what, I kept getting thrown into the same lesson over and over again until I stopped and actually thought it through and then made the critical decisions to you know, incorporate the lesson and then, you know, learn it in the front of my brain, not running on autopilot, but learning it, really integrating it in my life and saying, okay, I've been down that, I've walked down that street before, I know where the hole is that I fall into every time that the spikes, I'm going to step around it this time. And that's the one that I've learned the hard way. And so that's, you have a lot of similarities to my older life that I used to live. Okay. I'm lucky that I've got loving parents, but I had somebody like what you're talking about with your mother in my life. And it was a real hard lesson and it was very toxic. And when I changed that dynamic, I was free. And it was like breathing fresh air and looking out and smiling in the morning and knowing that, you know, the world was full of great possibilities. And that's what makes life sweet. And you've got that in you. When I hear you talk, it's this, you're kind of throwing those roadblocks up when I say stuff. And that's telling me that you're almost there. You've got a real frustration under the surface, and you've got this creative impulse under there trying to push through to free yourself of it. You keep working at it, you're going to get through that, and it's an individual process. When you finally hit that point where you say it's going to be this way in my life and to hell with everything else, that'll be the moment when you are in control of it.
I think I'm there, because that's what I've been saying.
Well, it's when you think it and then when you do it. Those are two different things. When you actually go in and declare your power and you take control and you say, no, by God, this is the way it's going to be, and everybody else can stand there and go, what you doing? Is she crazy? Yeah, I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Deal with it, you know. And by the way, tough crunch is on you. You know, get alive and stay out of mind, by the way. You know, I'm going to move over with that girl from New York City, you know. I mean, the happy little girl from New York City. I'm going to hang out with her and do readings, okay?
Yay. Okay. I hope I get there then. I just want to ask you about the person you thought was a brother, because I don't have a brother over there. Could it possibly be the friend that died, Jeff?
Well, when I'm going to say something that I don't know what the family, your mother had happened, but I felt another brother on the other side. Okay, and that could be someone who passed, you know, who may have been a stillborn. It could be something like that. But what I'm getting is to the side, a figure to the side. That could be brother, that could be cousin. That could be something like that, or somebody like a brother to you, but this is a brother figure. Okay, and but I get that he passed young and that he's on the other side, and he's also with you. So,
I think it was my friend who's like a brother.
I'm getting a G or a T. I'm getting a name that sounds like G or T. So I don't know what that means. But that's those
G
are the,
or
that's
T?
G or T. It's like an E kind of, yeah. You know, it could be
well,
E too, but it's got the E
Jeffrey.
Sound to it. Okay.
Like
Jeffrey?
Yeah.
Okay. That fits in it. So, I mean, how old was he when you passed?
54.
54?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You're getting someone younger?
Brother to you? Well, I'm getting young. I'm getting someone who under 10 years old. I'm getting in the, maximum of 12.
Yeah, because my mom started having children at 17, and so we've known every child she's had. So I really,
really
don't know how she could have snuck a brother in there, because my sister, she was only 17 or 16 when she had my sister, so I don't think she had a child before that.
Well, I'm getting a again, this doesn't have to be necessarily a brother. I'm saying brother figure to the side.
Mm.
Who would be, so this could be another family member, you know, who had a child.
Could have been Dougie.
Or, you know, if it was, well, it wasn't stillborn, it died, you know, upwards of about 11, 12 years old. Somewhere in there, this was a child who died very young and was and is on the other side and watching over you.
Well,
I'm keeping an eye on you.
Okay. All right. I
okay.
Your time. You're great. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Diana. Well, God bless you. Take care. All right. We got 32 minutes remaining. Oh, take care, my dear. Let's see. We got, Gina is going to leave us. She's going to take off in 3 minutes. Gina, big hug to you. You're going to have the song on for you, my dear. We have a special song for you. Let's just say I've got a little ZZ Top for you. I'll leave it at that. I got ZZ Top music for you. It's a perfect song for you. So look for a little ZZ Top on Thursday. let's see. We got a 504 caller, and then I've got a 111 caller from looks like a Skype member. I'll be kind of careful there. The hand is not up on the Skype caller, so I'll just leave it alone. But 504, I'm going to bring you on and just say your first name and where you're from. And so you are on the air. Welcome aboard on Soul Stream.
Hi, John. It's Dawn. How you doing?
Hi, who is this?
Dawn. Dawn.
Dawn?
Dawn.
Oh, Dawn.
Hi.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, the tone of the way that connection sounds, it was like I was hearing, okay. Anyway, hi, Dawn.
Hey, how are you?
Now. Can you hear us now in the studio? Hello, I'm talking close to the mic. Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yeah, I can.
I got the garbage thing going. Or Verizon, I'm sorry, Verizon, the Verizon guy, yeah. So what can we do for you, my dear?
Yeah, you remember I called in the other night? On a Thursday, I believe?
Did I have a call in the middle of the night?
No, no. You remember I called you the other night on Thursday when you had your show on?
Oh, yes. I remember that. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. And you were telling me something about the morning and all that. You remember that?
Yeah. What was that?
Yeah. What was it? Remember I told you I would ask?
Yeah.
Do you remember all this? Okay. Sorry.
Remember this. When I say these things, you know, and I get it, it's like I'm the telephone. I forget it. It goes out the memory bank's all shut down. I remember little bits and drabs of that reading, but I remember there was something and you were insisting. I remember you like saying, no, nothing's happened, blah, blah. And I was like going, no, I'm sticking to my guns. It's this thing. It's this thing.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's all I remember. Oh. So take it from there.
Yeah. Well, it's nothing. I don't even really know what it was or is. Maybe you can ask since we on the phone, I guess. But I communicated with him Friday after, you know, you and I think that's a talk Thursday, I believe. You and I talked Thursday, and I communicated with him Friday, and I asked him, and he said it was something that would happen Saturday morning, the next morning. It was a few little, you know, he said it would be nothing, you know, nothing bad. It would actually be something good. So, I mean, it was just a couple little things that happened, but I don't know if that's what he was talking about. And I don't know. I mean, I have no clue. So I was only thinking two things that I could think of. It wasn't anything bad. It was actually two little small things that were kind of good, I guess. So I don't know if that's what he meant or if it hasn't happened yet or something changed or whatever. He just said,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the bottom line was, I was about, you know, basically I was off a day, but it was,
you know,
there was a couple of small events that happened.
Yeah, just tiny things, and I guess that's what he meant. I mean, it had to be one of those because nothing else happened. I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah, I remember this now, and he's the guy that you love dearly who's passed to the other side, and you are done with living guys because you've got this guy. Relationship. You two talk to each other. I remember this thing.
Exactly.
I know it's all good.
Yeah, okay. That's it.
Yeah, that's like that's the first time I've ever heard of that, and I'm going, wow, that's a pretty different relationship.
This is someone I truly love, you know, and it's, you know, that's the way it is, I guess, you know. But yeah, I do have. I do communicate with them quite often. I do have abilities. You and I have spoke about this before. And I am in the stage of developing, you know, I'm still working on those. But he and I communicate quite often and quite easily. And you and I have talked about this before. And it's just very easy. And this is what we were talking about. And you were telling me that he was telling you something about the morning or something.
Yeah, it's definitely past whatever it was. I mean, it did happen, but you know, you're in New Orleans, right?
Yeah, New Orleans, yep.
How are you, by the way, how's it going out there with all the flooding? I'm sorry to dump subjects.
We're okay in this area where I'm at. It's just really like kind of like the outskirts of Louisiana, mainly.
Yeah.
But they have redirected floodwaters towards some of these little smaller towns to avoid New Orleans being flooded again. And, you know, that's their plan that they've, you know, brought up, I assume.
Well,
you know, I feel sorry for those people. I really do.
Well, I feel bad about it, too. I just, all of a sudden I realized, oh, my God, you're right, the path, all this stuff. I just was like, oh, I better have asked about that. You're in, like, one of the most uber-haunted spots in the country. I mean, that area... is absolutely chock-a-block full of ghosts. And, I mean, it's just a melting pot for cultures, you know. The thing that I get is this is not the first time such a relationship has happened. And, ordinarily I would counsel against something like this, but honestly, stranger things have happened, and to me it sounds like you're pretty happy, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the person I've loved my entire life, and we share past lives together, you know, and it's, I mean, our connection is very strong, you know, like, very strong.
Yeah. Now, Gina is asking in the chat room, is he scaring her? I don't think that...
Wait, what?
Well, maybe. I'm not sure. Is he scaring her? Kathy is saying...
No.
Oh, I think they... Oh, they're off having another conversation in the chat room. Anyway, and Kathy is sitting here saying that I should stop doing that deep thing with my voice, that I should not do this with my voice, because when I talk this way, I'm causing her to have issues. So anyway, we're going to keep talking this way. So anyway, I'll do this deep voice thing. Yeah. Anyway.
I have abilities. I do have abilities, but I don't know. I'm at the point where with my abilities where I'm just trying to figure them all out, you know. And it just seems like with him, communication is just so easy. Like, it's extremely easy. It's just like, you know, I'm talking to you right now. I mean, you know, it's very easy. And it's very direct. And, you know, but, I mean, I'm still trying to develop my abilities, you know, just to use to help people in general, you know. But...
One thing I'll say there, I don't think you have to try very hard. I think the word try would be, in another few months, if not sooner, you won't have to use the word try. It's just embrace the abilities. It just, you have it. You have it in spades.
Yeah.
You know, you're very good at it.
Because I'm always wondering if I'm doing enough, you know, to help that along.
Yeah. Well, what I thought I heard is you're talking about being good enough?
No, if I'm doing, like, enough. Like, you know, because I know you have to – I do a lot of meditation and different little things like that, and just to really try to connect, you know. But I'm wondering if I'm doing enough on my end to – because I know you have to exercise just like any other thing, you know.
Yeah, you're doing plenty. I think the thing is just give it time, you know. It's right. You know, I've been at this 25 years now. I've been working at this, and I'm still learning new things all the time, you know. And, you know, it took me that way. I had a lot of people telling me, you know, oh, you don't need to meditate. You don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. And I finally just went, you know, and looked at everything the books and the literature were saying, and it was just like this real basic stuff, you know. Study hard, mm-hmm. you know, do the basics, work your butt off. You're going to get the abilities. And then you can build on the foundation. Just like playing football or baseball or anything else, you want
right.
to do well in life, a lot of it, mm-hmm. and you stick with the foundation. And just be patient with yourself. And that's what I get
yeah.
with you, is that you're very dedicated to this. You've been at it for some years. What I would say is you're well on your way. And you should you absolutely have good judgment with people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I see no reason... couldn't be doing this professionally and going on further with it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I really, really want to help people. That's my main goal, you know, because I know it's there and I have it for a reason, so I really would like to help people. I have been slacking on the meditation. I can't even lie and say that. But I've been so tired from work, you know. When I come home, it's like, you know, if you get into meditation, I might fall asleep, you know.
Well, you know what? It's funny with meditation. I tend to, I have the same problem. And what I did is I read a very interesting thing that John Edward talked about, is he never, 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 never does a reading for people without having done meditation immediately before. So that's what I do, you know, with the show. They're talking about my baritone voice here on the chat room. Yes, it's Barry Manilow here. I'm talking low. But, I mean, what I made the firm decision to myself, in a contract with myself, that I would never do another show without meditating first. And I stuck to that, you know. So even though my shows have been interrupted for the last, you know, 5 months, 6 months with, me getting through the challenges I've been through, you know, and I'm still going through it with my dad, and it's a day-by-day thing whether or not I'll be able to do the show. And one day I'll get back to my normal schedule, you know, when things finally settle out, and they will. I'll be back to the, you know, the way it was before. And, but what I do is I stick to that formula like glue, and that seems to do it. Does it mean I meditate every day? Absolutely not. Sometimes I come home and I've got to go take out the garbage. You know, I don't have servants. I'm not, you know, this uber needy that and I have people to do that. You know, no. John does plumbing, electrical, you know, studio design. I do plowing. I plant potatoes. You know, I do all that stuff. And then, oh, by the way, I do meditations and talk to people. You know, anyway. So, I mean, what I'm saying is I have a real life, and you do too.
Yeah,
and,
right.
But what I would get with you is that you, if you make that determination that you're going to carry it forward, just kind of like what I did, that would be kind of the edge to kick you over, you know. I will say one thing I've been looking at, you know, I'm kind of throwing this out to the audience too, is I am looking at doing professional readings very hard. It'll be later in the year when things kind of settle out and I can have a schedule again. I'm going to I'm actually going to rent a room, I think, and start doing private readings. I may do telephone readings too. So I'm examining that. I'm really talking to my guides about it a lot. And they've been kind of pushing on me. So I've been getting the point, guys. You know, they're looking at me. I know I can feel it. So I'm getting that feeling that I will be doing that. And I felt for a long time I would be in front of an audience doing readings at one point and happen to not being able to hide behind the mic. I would have to actually be in front of real people, which would be a terrifying experience. But I will do it because I have to, because they make me do it. So, you know, that which I fear is what's good for me. So I must do this. It's so easy to do it on the microphone. You know, I just do, they can't see me. No. I could be wearing a, you know, a banana basket on my head and you never know.
That was funny. Yeah, I mean, but anyway. I just, you know, that's what I've been trying to do. Just, you know, really just exercise, I guess, the abilities, you know, because I think I have a few of them. So I'm just trying to really.
You don't just have a few of them. You got it in spades. You know it. Come on.
Well, I mean, it's so confusing for me.
Your family has this. You were born into a family of this, right? I mean, your family was gifted.
Well, I think my mom kind of has something going on. She's never tried to develop it. She never, you know, but she's experienced different things. And I think my great-grandmother is the one that really had the ability, which is her grandmother. She's the one that really had it, from what I understand.
I would sense that other contemporaries in your age bracket within the family would also have this, and keep your eyes open. I'm finding that I have a cousin who I just recently learned, who lives in another Western state, who I found out just recently that he was going through a whole lot of trouble. He had no idea that I was into this the way I am. And he had been experiencing spirit visits and all sorts of things. And the poor guy, I mean, I felt so bad for him, you know, because he was just, he was overwhelmed with everything going on. So I've been serving as kind of a counselor for him, showing him what to do, how to handle it, you know, because he's having the full range of visit, you know, seeing him, you know, hearing him, having cold spots to work, you know, stuff's moving in the house, the whole thing, you know, everything I've been through. And you just go, okay, you know. And the poor guy, I mean, he's, you know, he's 28, right the age when it all started for me, you know, really started. I was having little things when I was 25, but, man, when I hit 28, the floodgates opened. And, you know, then I had to figure this out on my own. And, you know, I felt he came to me and asked me would I help him. And I said, yes, I will. So, you know, but what I get with you is that there would be a contemporary in your family that is – If you're not aware of them already, you will be.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
I haven't seen anyone yet. You know, I haven't seen anybody yet.
I would just kind of keep your eyes peeled. Is there any people in your age bracket or kind of younger folks in the family?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen any spirits yet. That's what I'm saying.
Ah, well, you're going to have family members who have gifts, you know, but seeing spirits, I'll tell you what. That's a hit or miss thing. I mean, I've seen a lot of them from the side where I'll see shadows and I'll catch the movement. But what about five or six times in my life I've had full on frontal experiences mm-hmm. where I've seen him. And the most recent one was my mother was very frustrated with Dad. And she was outside, and I looked out the window, and I see a blonde woman standing next to my mother, and she's following my mother around, and my mom's, and she's talking to my mother. And I thought, oh, it's a next-door lady, you know, who's over, you know, visiting, or somebody that my mom knows. So I had just gotten out of the shower. So I ran in real quick and got changed, and, you know, because I figured she's going to bring this guest in. I don't want to, you know, look like a galoot. So I go get dressed up. And, she comes in and I go, where's the woman? And she goes, what woman? And I said, there was a blonde lady standing next to you. I thought it was a neighbor. And she goes, there was nobody next to me.
Right.
So then I go, oh, great. and she was tall. Here's the lady. You know, here's the women all in the chat room all talking. A blonde woman, a mirage. She was tall, rather buxom. As a male, I would say she had a nice tush. But she was well dressed and was a bit taller than my mother, and I would estimate her to be in her 30s or 40s, walking around behind mom. And so I only saw her from the backside, and she was following mom. So I catch this glimpse of this, and it was just a glimpse. And then you know I'm going, oh, somebody's there, and then I find out that not. And what I've since learned from my guides is that it was her guide. Was with her, and this is one of her guides, and she's being helped to deal with the whole situation with my father. So it was a great honor to see her guide. I have to admit, I mean, it was neat to see that, but her guide's got a great touch. Sorry. I mean, a man notices these things, you know. What can I say? I'm going to pay for that on the other side.
I can feel them more. You know, that's my thing. I really feel when, you know, someone is around. Like, I really can feel them very strongly. Going back to the person I was talking about, who I communicate with quite often. Like I said, I spoke to him on Friday. We communicate on Friday. But for an example, Sunday, he was here. Like, he just popped up, you know. And I could feel him here. He, I was sitting on the sofa, and he was, like, right there. I could feel him. I can't see him yet, but I could feel him. And he was there. So, I mean, I know when they're around, and, you know, it's a very strong feeling. So I know when someone's
there.
What I
would think is this, this whole notion you have of, you know, you say you feel them, but saying you can't see them, and that's what I'm saying about motion. Be aware that the human eye is a very interesting construct, and it has the ability to see different wavelengths depending on whether you're using the black and white cones, which are the side of the eye, versus color cones, which are more in the center, which was what we used to look at and perceive color. And you know that you always hear the story, or you see it yourself, where you'll see a catch a motion out of the corner of your eye, and you look and you look directly at it, and it's gone. That's because the wavelength that the spirit was in briefly manifested that your black and white cones could see it. And when you turned your eyes at it, when you looked at it, it was like, where'd it go? Okay. And basically is because you turned your color, you turned the wrong sensors over and it disappeared. And the entity's still standing in front of you. So you absolutely have the ability. What I would challenge you to do is when you feel the spirit next to you the next time is, just say, hey, I'm going to try something. I just want to look at you in the side of my eye and see if I perceive anything. And I would lay dollars to donuts there that what you're going to get is you're going to see like a kind of a shadow, or you're going to perceive a haziness. And you can kind of get perceived just a little bit from it. You don't look directly at it. Just look, use the side of your eye and then draw, you know, go draw, you know, try to draw a picture of it. And you'll very likely catch a spirit for the first time and see that, and it will be a memorable experience.
Okay, cool. I mean, I went in communication with him. He told me that eventually I will be able to see him. You know, eventually he'll show up one day and I'll actually be able to see him. You know, so I was like, okay. Usually when he's there, like I said, I can sense him, and also something he'll do is when he's around, like when he just pops up on his own, is that like my phone. He'll actually light the phone up, and I know it's for no other reason. And we've discussed this is what he does. I mean, this is the first time, a couple times it happened, I thought something was wrong with my phone. and because I have a touchscreen phone, and I thought something was wrong with it, and there was nothing wrong with it, no messages, no emails, no phone calls, nothing was coming through, and it just would just light up
for absolutely no reason. They have the ability to affect our electronics.
Way of letting you know, well, hey, I'm here, you know, I love you, whatever, whatever, you know, just kind of let you know I'm around. And yes, I'm definitely here type thing, you know.
Well, you know, what I will predict for you with your first real frontal sighting after you, because do this development work where you're working with the side vision. But when you go to the next step, which will be seeing him now. For example, and the ladies are going to laugh in the audience here. But every time I've had one of these experiences where I've seen a spirit full on frontal thing, it tends to be right after I got out of the shower. I don't know what it is, and I've kind of got a theory about this. Is when you get out of the shower or you've been in the bathroom and your mindset just kind of goes, you just turn off your regular brain and you're operating completely on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you come out of the shower and you're just really relaxed and your brain's in the right place, you're open to see things. And that's what happened to me. I just stepped out of the shower. My mind was just, I was just, hey, I'm relaxed. I feel great. I'm walking along. Oh, there's this woman over there. Fine. Nice butt. Okay, I'll keep going. And then I find out I just saw spirit. You know, that's the sense I get with you that this will happen is where you'll be in a very relaxed moment. And pay attention to that later when you and remember this conversation, because I do think that that's going to be how it happens for you. Very relaxed moment, and you'll suddenly see him. And then it'll be gone.
Right.
And it'll be a experience
you
forget.
You know, he's basically kind of what you said. He told me that. I mean, he's like, when I do see, so that, you know, I can't tell you when I'll come, you know, he's like, but it'll be, you know, it'll just be like, you'll be doing something, you'll turn around, and I'll be right there. That's how it'll work out, you know. And that's
it's going to be that moment.
I mean, with him, I don't know about anybody else, but with him specifically.
Well, he's constantly around you, so, I mean, it's like 9 out of 10, it's going to be him, and the bottom line is, you'll be in a very relaxed alpha state. You know, your brain will just be completely primed to do this. And he'll be able to lower his vibration enough just to be seen by you, and you'll be in a place where your brain is operating at a higher level, and you'll overlap. And you'll have that moment where he looks as real as you can be. And I've had several of those. I've had three of them that I could see that looked like regular people that, you know, I couldn't have told the difference. I've had I've had about 7 experiences, can you think of it? And the other 4 would have been various shades of partial manifestations where they were completely formed, but they were transparencies or kind of or looked like a sheet, not quite flesh-toned. Many, 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 many experiences, I can't even count the number, where I've seen part of a body, you know, torso floating along, no legs, or, you know, an arm and a leg go by, you know, and they're partially manifesting. And so I don't mean to count those as, quote, truly full-on sightings, but, you know, you see them all the time around here. I mean, I don't even think twice when I see them. I go, oh, did you see a spirit go by? My mom will go, yep, I saw that. And then we have a game now. It's like if we see one, I'll go, okay, I saw something. What did you see? And we'll try to blur it out at the same time. And it's like 9 out of 10 times we say the same thing. So then that's when we know we're on to something. So.
Well, with him, I know he's told me, this, you know, particular person I communicate with all the time. I mean, he's told me that when I do see him, he won't be transparent like that. He'll look regular, you know.
He's working at it, and there'll be a moment when it's just the right thing in the right time, and the right variables are all in place, and it'll be like the weather. You know, it's like it's yesterday when I was in that near tornadic situation. I was in hail. You know, I mean, when those moments all come together and all the energy's right, it's like the most amazing things happen. You know, and you get extraordinary things that nature will do to you, and then that goes away, and it gets back to normal life as we know it. But it's something you never forget, you know, and that was that's how the spirit world works. It's these confluence of forces that all come together, and everybody goes, "Whoa, man, that was cool!" And then just can't wait for it to happen again. You know,
that's what he told me, and I was like, "Okay," you know. He's like, "Well, you know, I'll appear. I'll look, you know, solid, like, you know, like a person, like you know me, you know, the way you know me." And I was like, "Okay."
I had a friend of mine who was one of my first metaphysical teachers, and her name was Lillian. And I've lost track of her. She's long since been out of my life, and I'm sure she's passed. I have not had a visit from her at all. But I fondly remember Lillian. She had her kind of her dark side. But when I was under her tutelage, she was a great teacher for me. And she told me once, she says, I have the ability to actually change my vibrational level so that you cannot see me. And I said, why don't you do it? You know, naturally, the first thing I said is, well, do it then. Show me. Because I was going, no, this is BS. And she said she couldn't do it for me. She had to work at it to get to that level. And I said, okay. I says, I'll take it on face value. And I've heard others talk about this kind of thing. And I finally realized years and years later, she's being dead serious with me. But what I found with her was that she also did a lot of astral travel, and she had me do some things that was part of the lessons that she took. She actually took me on an astral trip, and it was like the wildest thing I've ever been on. I mean, to this day, I still cannot astral travel very well or remember much of my stuff, but this one I remembered. And she took a number of us who were students all at the same time. And the next day we met, and we were instructed to all talk at the same time about what happened and have it all written down. And we had written down all the same dream. Mm-hmm. And I never forgot that. That was abject proof of the spirit world. So bottom line is, you know, when he says he's going to appear to you like that, you know, he's good to his work, you know, and it is real.
Right.
But, hey, you know what? We got 3 minutes remaining, my sweet. I'm glad you were on here with me. And I'm glad you know, he was true to his word about something happening on Saturday.
I don't know exactly what it was. Like I said, it had to be one of those minor things. And I was going to ask if you could ask him that, but I don't think you have time.
Well, ask him again Thursday. Let's see if he got something more specific, because I'd like to know what that was, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it had to be one of those tiny things, I would assume. So.
Okay. Well, hey, Don, thanks for coming on. I'm going to start winding it down here and call it a night. But love you, and you take care of yourself, and see you on Thursday, huh?
All right, you too, John. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye. Okay, we got some dedicated folks here who've stuck it out here. We had a nice audience tonight. Thank you to everybody for coming in. I know I've been on a variable schedule. It just cannot be helped. Between the weather, between fathers who are slightly a little bit off and things going on, it is a challenge. But I've got, let's see, we'll just talk to the remaining folks here. Kathy's just in echoes. Kathy's with me here. Gina has been an interesting person talking about I don't have to travel to John's shower. Oh God, I wish I would love that. IWM, Jeannie Marie, same thing. Jeannie. Scott Wise, GHI, and Teresa Sixbury. So thank you all for sticking with me here. We got about a minute remaining. I am going to do a show on Thursday night, and why don't we do a show where we'll do some let's do half and half. I'll do half of it, we'll do some on-air EVP, and then I'll take the other half of the show. We'll do just straight readings and just kind of have a little bit of fun, mix it up. And we'll do some astral. Let's talk a little bit about astral travel. And also we'll do some psychometry. I've got some objects here that I've been collecting here in Studio B, and I think we should do some astral travel, some psychometry games. Astral travel will be fun too. So anyway, 1 minute remaining. We're going to go ahead and wind it down. Thank you all so much for being in the show. And sleep well tonight, and may you find your great journeys in the spirit world. This is Soulstream. We're going to be signing off, and I'll do a little bit of At Last here. Thanks. Thank you, everybody.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com.